I want to read to you in the semi-darkness this morning. I'm going to be reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. I know that you can't follow along, but hear the word of the Lord this morning. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. And all the people said, amen. According to Martin Lloyd-Jones, you're supposed to start out by saying, now pay no attention to the little preacher. And I hesitate to mention, several of you have commented on my jacket. The reason I mention it is because it was purchased for me by Alvis and Ellen Moore. You remember when Dr. Moore used to come and preach to us every now and then. And he's in heaven now. And when I wear this jacket, I think of him. When we lose people who are close to us, or people who we love and people who love us, sometimes it can do strange things with our minds. I had a woman once. She'd been married for many years, decades, to her husband. His name was Riley. I sat with her when Riley was on his deathbed in their home. You can never predict these things, and I sat with her all through the night, and honestly, every time he would take a gasp, we thought it was his last. And he just kept taking another breath. Finally, on toward dawn, I told her, I've got to leave for 45 minutes and take my kids to school. I'll drop them off and come right back. And she told me later that I hadn't been gone 10 minutes, and he breathed his last. Sometimes, if they have an awareness, they're waiting for a moment, someone to arrive. Or sometimes I wonder if, as long as they've been married, he was just waiting until it was just her and him. In the weeks after that, we had some talks, his wife and I, and she told me one day, she said, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but she said, I saw Riley. She said, well, I didn't have my eyes open. I was laying in bed and I was just about to fall asleep. But she said, I saw a pair of legs walk up to my bed, and I heard his voice. I knew it was him, even though I didn't open my eyes, and even though my eyes were shut. And I listened non-judgmentally, and I know that there's a phenomenon when you lose someone that you love, that you can think you saw them. A glance across the crowd, perhaps standing in your room, just for a brief second. And the question I put to you this morning is that what happened with the disciples? They loved Jesus so much, they thought they saw him. And is that where all this started? What I want to illustrate for you this morning is just how many times in the 40 days between his crucifixion, between his resurrection, and when he ascended up into heaven, how many times and to how many different people the Lord Jesus appeared. Now, I didn't really have room for this for the 10 o'clock message, but I will tell you that if you were making this story up, you would not have Jesus just appearing and disappearing and coming and going like that, because that would argue against a literal physical resurrection, would it not, in people's minds? And so when you ask the question, why then did they write it down like this? I say to you, because they were honest men and something absolutely incredible happened to them, and they wrote it down just exactly as it occurred. But what I want you to see is that they weren't all together in a place in the subject of group hysteria. You can hallucinate, but everybody sees something different because we're all in our own little minds, aren't we? What happened cannot be explained by hallucination or mob psychology. And we're going to symbolize it by lighting some candles. And the first candle was to a woman, Mary Magdalene. Often that you hear that she was a prostitute or immoral, and actually the Bible says nothing of the kind. The Bible simply says that Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her. There's a reason why, if you were making this up, you would not have had this happen, and I'll say more about that at the 10 o'clock hour. But Jesus, all through his ministry, showed incredible respect and regard for women. And I'll say it was just like him to appear to a woman first. Now, when scholars put together the different Gospels in attempt to see how do these fit together, this is our best effort at how some of these things sort of dovetail together. At one point at least, Mary was at the tomb by herself, perhaps following on the heels of Peter and John, who saw the grave clothes. I haven't mentioned them because Jesus has not appeared to them yet. But we just read a while ago of the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. I love how Alistair Begg refers to them as the 2 disconsolate foot trackers. They were depressed. Whatever business was taking them to Emmaus, as Luke told us, it was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and so they were walking there. I can't imagine what it would have been like to suddenly have this stranger there. There's talk about arguing against wish fulfillment. Oh, the disciples just wanted to see Jesus so bad that they made themselves think they had seen him. They were not expecting to see him. They had seen him crucified. They knew people didn't come back from that. So here's Jesus with them, and they don't even recognize him. Perhaps there was a supernatural element there. One of our disciples is so sad, it looks like his candle might go out. Then Jesus appeared at some point that morning to the 2 Marys. And in fact, you can actually reverse these 2. Matthew chapter 28 says, "And behold, Jesus met them." Who's them? Matthew 28 begins by telling us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Mary was a fairly common name, Miriam, in those days. And so Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. They were not expecting to see Jesus. They were there to try to finish anointing his body for burial. Then, that evening, again as we read, he appeared to the disciples. Sometimes they're called the 12, but by this point Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus. Every time you see Judas listed in the scripture, it's always mentioned that he betrayed the Lord Jesus. And this first time, this first Sunday evening, Thomas was not with them. You remember Thomas, he was a cheerful camper, became known as the doubter. And so the Bible says that he appeared to the 10 without Thomas. His first word to them was shalom, peace. This is the peace and well-being and sense of security that comes from knowing that the Lord is taking care of you and everything's going to be all right, despite how appearances might be at the moment. I like to remind people, frankly, I need reminding myself sometimes, that the same God who took Crucifixion Friday and turned it into Resurrection Sunday is still at work in the hearts and minds and lives of his people. It may be that you're at Crucifixion Friday right now. You wait. As Tony Campolo likes to say, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. 1 week later, the Bible says, the disciples were again together, and this time Thomas was there. And he had told them, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands, unless I touch his side where the spear went in, I will not believe. So the Bible says that Jesus, although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, how do you think Thomas felt in that moment when Jesus turned to him? He said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Then put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. We're not told so, but I cannot help but believe that Thomas dropped to his knees next. And then Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. There's plenty of evidence to satisfy our doubts. The problem with unbelief is not our minds primarily, but our hearts. Jesus said to a group of people, you will not come to me. Thomas had said, unless I see, I will never believe. And then Jesus said to him words that apply to us. He said to Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There is not a single person sitting here that has seen the Lord Jesus. But you will. Peter writes, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Peter was not telling us to have some sort of spiritual teddy bear or good luck charm by just believing in something, in Jesus. He also said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. But I want you to understand there was an emotional roller coaster here. Can you imagine what it would have been like? How could they, even after seeing when Jesus then vanished, can we believe our own eyes? But then Peter wrestled with something else. Peter, the one who'd said, Lord, even though everyone else runs away, I will never forsake you. But Peter had denied the Lord three times, sometimes faced with nothing more intimidating than a servant girl who said, you're one of his disciples, and he denied it three times. King James says, and he swore. Our words, the way we speak to others, before others, they're pretty good proof of whether or not we really are his disciple or whether other people can believe we're his disciple or not. So at one point, I think perhaps overcome with despondency and thinking that Jesus, he may be risen from the dead, but he wouldn't have anything more to do with Peter because Peter had denied him three times. So at one point, Peter looked at his friends and he said, I go fishing. And so they went to the Sea of Galilee. And John's gospel records what happened when Jesus appeared to seven of them. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, The sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, that's how John referred to himself through his gospel. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, you think that you don't feel mental confusion in a state like that? Listen, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, meaning to the waist, and he threw himself into the sea and swam to shore. Now, how's that for confusion? He put his robe on. Oh, it's the Lord. Oh, and then he swam to shore as if to see for himself. Jesus had breakfast ready for them when they got there. That's where the King James says, he said to them, "Children, come and dine." And the whole point, seemingly, to Jesus appearing to these seven and having breakfast with them was so that he could directly confront Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And I wonder if Jesus was indicating all the fish that had been caught. "You love me more than fishing?" Three times, "Simon, do you love me?" Three times, with downcast eyes, Peter answered, "Lord, you know I love you." But the word he used was not a strong word. It was more for friendship. He just didn't feel worthy. How could he declare his love for the Lord after denying him three times? The last time Jesus accommodated Peter, and he used the same word Peter had been using, "Simon, do you love me?" And not only to directly confront, but to lovingly confirm to Peter that he still had a calling and a purpose on his life. Because every time Simon said, "Lord, you know that I love you," he said, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs." The word he used for feed was the word later used for pastor. You can look through the early chapters of the book of Acts, and in effect, Peter, for the first several years of the Jerusalem church, was the leader of the church. He shepherded them, just as Jesus told them. So he appeared to the seven by the sea. And then in Matthew 28, he told the women at the tomb that he would meet his disciples in Galilee. Then the narrative picked up. Now when the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. But listen, but some doubted. This is unearthly. What this means is they were not gullible rubes. Even in the first century, people knew people didn't rise from the dead. Even after seeing Jesus in some cases repeatedly, the Bible records some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Then he told them, "Go you therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Some have wondered if maybe Jesus wasn't purposely having the disciples revisit old haunts where he had spent time with them as sort of a preparation for the going out that he was commissioning them to. It's important to remember. It's important to revisit. It's important to to think about our roots and remember past experiences with the Lord. But if our focus is only inward and backward, then we're not obeying the Lord Jesus. We shouldn't let go of those things in our hearts and minds, but instead Jesus focuses us outward, forward. We're still here for them. We're still here for all the ones who not only are still asleep in their beds, but who don't believe in the Lord Jesus. That's why we're still here. We're here for them. And someone has suggested that his promise, "Lo, I'm with you always," that a church has no right to claim that promise of blessing unless we're actively involved in obeying his commission. Food for thought. Well, then the Bible says, at some point Jesus appeared to Peter. And this is a separate one from when he appeared to Peter with the disciples. I think if I had denied the Lord three times, I might need extra confirmation too. But listen to this. He appeared to Cephas. This is very early because that's one of Peter's Jewish names. They didn't call him Peter. Whenever this little saying was put together, he was still known by most people as Cephas. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. I don't have room for 12 more candles, but I'll explain that in a minute. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Now, I don't have the time, and even though I do have a fire extinguisher handy, I have no desire to try to light 500 candles. So each of these large candles we're going to let stand for 100 people. Now, you may be thinking at this point, you've been repeating yourself. Some of these candles, here's the 10, and then there's the same 10 with Thomas, and some of them, there's the 7, and that is true. But what I want you to see is that if we actually had 500 candles up here, we would have far, far, far more candles lit at this point than even the ones that I have doubled. So the Bible says he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And Paul was talking about some have died, but the challenge there, most of them are still here and you can go talk to them if you want. And then I think this is my favorite, this little candle here. Then he appeared to James. Not James the apostle, who had been put to death by Herod, but James, the half-brother of the Lord. I'll say more about him in the 10 o'clock service. And then again, the Bible says he appeared to the 12, to all the apostles. The Bible records in Luke 24, which I read to you, that just before his ascension into heaven, he appeared to the disciples again. Some have asked, well, why did he ascend into heaven like that? He'd been coming and going in the most abrupt and sudden ways for 40 days. The conclusion seems to be that he did it this way so that they would understand, I'm leaving now. Now it's time for your commission to begin. The Bible says that he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it was in that posture that he was parted from them, that he was ascended up into heaven. And as I believe the Scofield Bible likes to note, that is his posture toward the world, toward the church for this entire age, a posture of blessing, to bless us as we go and obey his commands. This last one, Paul said, as to one born out of due time, he appeared also to me. Jesus did not just appear to his own believers. James, his half-brother, thought he was crazy. Paul used to be Saul of Tarsus. One of the greatest mysteries of the first century, if you do not believe or accept the resurrection of Jesus, you have to explain, what happened to Saul of Tarsus? What made him become Paul the Apostle? And so for 40 days, this isn't near enough candles to represent all of the people that he appeared to. The Bible says in the beginning of the book of Acts, then he presented himself alive after his suffering to his disciples by many infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And Peter says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths or fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul the Apostle talks about what if Christ is not risen from the dead? But then he said, but in fact, Christ is risen. And all the people said,